We do have a couple exciting things coming to Ohio, right? We have the eclipse coming, and with that, I kind of wanted to form a lesson around this, just to kind of think about the times that God kind of used the celestials, the solar system, for different things, and I thought about just going through the times that was used today. So, as we know, we have the solar eclipse that's coming. For those that really get into astronomy, they probably know that every 18 months this happens twice in the world, just because the way the moon rotates around the Earth and the Earth rotates around the sun. It always happens somewhere, except it's just happening here for us. And we don't really have to go anywhere to see this, right? We're all within that band. I think I looked the other day, and according to NASA, it's the line of totality is 50 feet from my driveway, so I don't know if I have to walk the extra 50 feet to see the line, but it's near. But for the most part, I think we're all aware that this is happening tomorrow. Roger mentioned some things about making sure that we have protective eyewear and things like that. So I started to think about all of the different times we see instances in the scripture about God's use of the sun, moon, and stars. Now, I had planned to go a little bit more into the different times that the moon and stars are mentioned, but actually there is quite a bit of evidence and things in the Bible that God mentions about the sun. So really today we are going to be looking at mostly the instances about the sun today. Also, Roger's song that he led first this morning, where it talked about the creation of the sun, moon, and stars, and about Jesus' light. We're going to kind of get into that as well this morning. So I thought that was a great song to kind of kick us off this morning. But we can't really get into this without kind of stating that everything we see here is what God has created for us. And we can't really get past Genesis 1:14 without showing this. So I would like to read here Genesis 1:14 through 18 to kind of set the flow of the lesson today. And that says, "Then God said, 'Let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and seasons and for the days and the years.'" So right here we have the creation of seasons, time, the rotation of the earth, the sun, the moon, the way all of our winter, spring, fall works basically right here. "And let them for light in the firmament of the heavens to be given light on the earth. And it was so. And then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." So right here, we see what a normal day and night is. Now, it does get further into dividing these different things, but we have the flow, the regular structure of what day and night is. We have the creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars all right here in the very first part of Genesis. So we know where this comes from. Now, as you know, there's a lot of interesting facts about the sun. And I also just took this picture. I took this picture when I was in California, right as the sun was going down over the mountains. And I was like, that's a perfect representation to talk about the sun this morning. As we know, it's a giant ball of gas. The earth could fit into the sun 109 times. The top of the sun is about 9,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It gets hotter. It gets towards the core. And it's about 93 million miles away. But the importance, beyond dividing the light and its warmth, the sun's gravitational pull anchors the Earth and all the planets in its orbits, making life as we know it possible. So we have this perfect environment that God has set up for us. The way that the sun rotates, or the earth rotates around the sun and the moon around the earth, it all works in this perfect flow that God has set up for us on this earth. But now we know that how everything works, right? We have 24 hours in a day, but it's light about 12 hours. That's kind of a constant flow of what we know a normal day is like. However, there are several instances in the Bible that there was non-normal days. And that's what I would like to focus on today, because I think this is very interesting. Also, I use some AI-generated art, and some of it's kind of goofy, but I think that's what we're going to kind of focus on today, is trying to look at these different events. So the first one I'd like to look at this morning actually comes from Joshua, and I'd like to talk about the time that the sun stood still. So here in Joshua 10, 12 through 14, it says, "Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Ajon.' So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemy." So the sun stopped in order for Israel to win this fight. Is it not written in the book of Joshua that the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and not hastened to go down for about the whole day? And it's there has not been a day like it before or after it. And the Lord heeded the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So think about if you were having a bad day. So think about the Amorites were having a bad day because they were being destroyed by the children of Israel. And they're thinking, man, is this day never going to end? No, it's not. It didn't until they actually took over. And I was also thinking, I wonder what happened to people in other parts of the world. Like, wow, today's a long day. Because we know the sun stopped. It stopped there in the mist. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting, I started looking at where these locations were, the Valley of Ajon. And I thought that name sounded familiar. And as you guys knew, when I was over in Israel this time last year, what you can do with your pictures is pretty interesting. Because when you take a picture, it actually marks the GPS location. And you can pull up on a map, and you can see those places where you've taken your picture. Which I think is a lot of fun. So what I did is I found where this valley was. And then I found out that I took some pictures in that area. And I was like, oh, I should go back and look and see what that picture is and show everybody today. This is the picture that I took. And I still think today I was in one of the most important places in biblical history, and I took a picture of an Elvis statue. But if you look beyond the Elvis statue, I'm actually standing in that valley. That's where that valley's at. Also, people in Israel have a huge fascination with Elvis. There was things everywhere. So I just thought that would be interesting. But this was the only picture I took in that valley. We actually stopped for donuts and coffee. And I have a Elvis mug that says Israel on it from right there. But anyway, that is that valley in that area. And I have always said, now that I know more of where these locations are, I think I'd have better pictures planned out for everybody. So let's talk about another case in the Bible. So now we have where the sun stopped. The sun and the moon had stopped. God has full control over the sun, the moon, the planets, even the gravitational pull, everything for that battle. Now let's take a look at something else. We're going to be going over to 2 Kings, and we're going to see where God moves the sun backwards. So we have two verses to go with this. I'm going to be first looking at 2 Kings, and we're going to go to Isaiah. But here in 2 Kings 20, 9-11, that Isaiah said, "Then is the sign, this is the sign to you from the Lord. The Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backwards 10 degrees?" So he's given an option. What would you like to see happen? So Hezekiah answered, "It's easy to see the shadow go down 10 degrees because that's the rotation of the sun. But let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down on the sundial. So now God has turned time, or the sun, backwards, showing that he has full power and control, and showing Hezekiah that he can do that. Also here in Isaiah 38 and 7 through 8, we kind of have that same story. And this is a sign to you from the Lord, will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow of the sundial, which has gone down with the sun, the sundial as a 10 degrees backwards. I don't know what that sundial looked like. This is AI's imagery of what some of the sundials might have looked like. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. So God has full control of being able to turn the sun, stop the sun, turn it backwards. Also, we have instances where God completely blocked out the sun. And we see that here in the plague of darkness, here in Exodus 10, 21 through 23. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards the heavens, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Darkness which may have been felt. So Moses stretched out his hand towards the heavens, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So we see the land of Israel had light, but the land of Egypt was darkness. Now, how God did that, I don't know. Brad and I were joking about this yesterday. You know, Moses stretched up his hand to block it out. I don't think he was blocked. Maybe God put his hand in front of it. I don't know. But it was blocking the sun, just in a specific part. But it was complete darkness, right? Because if you think about how an eclipse works, right, you actually have, like, degradation of light. And actually here, coming up in, 2027, there's going to be a full eclipse right over this part of Egypt. And if you think about it, the way that the verse describes this is it's almost an exact line. Where there's light over here and there's darkness over here. Now, why was this done? So we know that the plagues, each specific plague, went against a different Egyptian god. So when you think about the god of the sun, who was Ra, we can see where God was showing that his power is over everything. It is over their gods. He can even block out the sun, showing his control over everything. As we know, each of the plagues was specifically against one of the Egyptian gods. We see that this one specifically was against Ra, saying that we will block out the sun. So let's also take a look just regarding about the sun, and it's actually used a couple different times just about the light being shown from it. And before we kind of finish up today, I would like just to kind of take a look at Matthew 17, 1 through 2. And it says, while not directly involved with the sun, so this is a little bit different, during the transfiguration, it says that Jesus' face shone like the sun. So in Matthew 17, 1 through 2, it says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on the high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. I think that's the only thing that they could refer to is that. Now, one of the things that I want to kind of do in closing, I want to take a look at Luke 23. And I want to talk about the darkness on the crucifixion. And we're going to talk about this for a little bit. So one of the thoughts is when Moses had the plague of darkness against Ra, that was for 3 days. That happened over the course of 3 days, complete darkness. However, when Jesus died on the cross, there was complete darkness for 3 hours. And I would like to read through the verses just to talk about this specific event that happened. So when Jesus died on the cross, on the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. And when we think about a regular eclipse, the eclipse, like the totality, is going to last like 7 minutes or something like that. But think about for 3 hours. So let's read Luke 23, starting in verse 44. We're going to read all the way through 56. So in Luke 23, it says, "It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped showing, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.' Then he had said this, he breathed his last." The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Then all the people who had gathered to witness the sign saw that it took place. They beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, I'm going to make another point about that, stood at a distance watching these things. I think it's interesting that it says the sun stopped shining. It's almost like all hope had just left the earth. Just think about how cold and dark that would have been. Just complete, the sun just stopped showing for 3 hours. I think of mourning, I think of sadness when just the sun is just stopped and blocked. And to think that this happened when Jesus died. And also, just to bring up the point, this lasted for 3 hours. It wasn't 7 minutes, 10 minutes. 3 hours it had stopped. And we know the continuation from this. It says, "Now there is a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to the decision and action, came to the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the King of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in a rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin." And then again, the woman who had come with Jesus from Galilee, the one that was witnessing this from afar off, Joseph had saw the tomb and how his body had been laid. And they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. So we see that Jesus died here on the cross. And we have this event that happened where the sun was blocked out. I don't know about you tomorrow, but I'm probably going to think of this. To think about when Jesus died on the cross, that God blocked out the sun. That God has power and control over all of these things. We mentioned all of these different instances about how God has full control of the stars, the moon, the heavens, the sun, the rotation of the earth, the rotation of the sun, even the sun itself shining light. And to think that the sun stopped shining when Jesus died. However, it was a sad occasion, but it was also a joyous occasion. Because Jesus died on the cross for remission of our sins, that we can have an eternal life and home in heaven. that we think that now upon Sunday we have remembrance of him by taking upon the fruit of the vine and the bread that remembers his death on that cross. That now we have this shining light that we can follow. We now have that light even though it went out for the 3 hours when he died. That we have that importance now. So I think of this morning, if you would like to be a child of his, to follow that light, to be a part of his shining kingdom, that you know that you would have to obey him, learn his will, and follow his commandments, and be baptized and become a child of his. If any person today would like to do that, of course we know the invitation is always open at any point. But if you would like to become baptized today, please come and forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.